It's time for Cover 2 with Joe Bianchino and Pierce Fricks.
So the fact that you said that my point is valid means I win?
No, you're a foolish idiot.
And now, here's Joe Bianchino and Pierce Fricks.
And what is up, everybody? Welcome into the Cover 2 podcast. Joe Bianchino and Pierce Fricks hanging out there right here on 104.5 The Team. .com. Mr. Bricks, how are you in this fine Thursday morning?
I'm doing very well, Joe. How about yourself? It is a nice day, by the way.
It is. It's a little snow last night, but it seems to have cleared. I'm ready for more snow, by the way. I'm ready to just jump into the Christmas season, and I need a little bit more to get me there.
Yeah, it's not there for me yet. My girlfriend literally started listening to Christmas music before Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I was there in Halloween, man.
I can't do it because then it gets played out by the time you get to the actual Yuletide cheer.
Some songs, certainly, but for the most part, I think it's still legit. I can listen to John Lennon's "War Is Over." Yeah, I'm good. That's July. It's 4th of July music for me, man.
Yeah, it's terrible, man.
I'm listening all the time. We'll start today in Brixie's wheelhouse with the NBA. Last night, Celtics Nets brawl. Kevin Garnett. Rajon Rondo v. Chris Humphries.
Yeah, by the way, not a good fight to pick if you're Rajon Rondo.
No. Humph's a big dude, and Rondo's not.
Yeah, you got to go for, like, Marshawn Brooks. Don't.
I did like the Chris Humphries hockey, pull the jersey over the head, and then go after him, which I thought that was a smart move by Humph, showing a little bit more intelligence than people thought he had.
Yeah, but listen, if you're Chris Humphries, you're that much bigger than Rajon Rondo. You got to just fight the fair one, man. You can't be blind to the guy.
You know what? If he's going to bring the fight to me, that's fine. Because I saw it, people were like, well, Rondo standing up for his guys. And I'm like, yeah, but it wasn't that big. I've seen Kevin Garnett commit that foul like a dozen times in
Kevin
like the
Garnett
past month.
Ball taps people.
Right. Like, I've seen Kevin Garnett do things like that or worse all his career. So are we really getting out of shit? Because Humphries brushed his face while he went up for a shot?
You
that happens.
What? Can we briefly digress on this? Kevin Garnett is a ball tapper. I think we all remember this.
Jared Dudley last season. That happens. That's happened.
Ndamukong Suh may or may not have hypothetically, potentially, purposely kicked Matt Schaub, and the guy is getting toasted, roasted, and potentially suspended. Obviously, he has not been, but he almost was. They reviewed it. Kevin Garnett undoubtedly, purposely hit Jared Dudley in the balls, and it was talked about for like a day and dropped. Is that fair?
No, and this seems tailor-made for a context matters line from me, but the context of Kevin Garnett's career is he does this stuff all the time, so ignoring everything Kevin Garnett does.
But it's weird because he does it all the time, yet we like Kevin Garnett, so he's feisty. Ndamukong Suh does this all the time. We don't like Ndamukong Suh. He's dirty. It's
a double.
It may just be the difference
between the sports, or it may just be that we don't like Ndamukong Suh either.
Which is weird. But
he's too mean to Jay Cutler.
When did America not like Ndamukong Suh? Because when he came in the league, you know what it was? And I know we're digressing off the NBA immediately.
Whatever.
But when he was drafted out of Nebraska with the black shirts, and everybody thought he could potentially be the first overall pick, and mm-hmm. he was a throwback. He was old school. Yep. And all the talking heads and all the people were talking about how great and old school he was. And then he came out and he was exactly that. He was old school. And everybody was like, oh yeah, I don't like old. I'm all about the new school.
Yeah, no, we went away from that.
He's gouging eyeballs. That's, that's exactly what he was marketing.
I think it started when he did the forearm shiver to the back of Jay Cutler's head, upper shoulder area, That hit was probably when I love that hit, but that's probably when the tide started to turn, and then obviously the Thanksgiving stomp
followed was
by
bad.
The Thanksgiving nut kick
when he went straight up Mortal Kombat fatality on Colt McCoy, that wasn't necessarily endearing. But I like Ndamukong Suh because he's old school, and I think everybody thought they were gonna like him because he's old school until they remembered what they used to do in the 60s and 70s with guys like Deacon Jones. When you have to, I mean, they used to have people clotheslining people. That was a legit thing that you're not allowed to do anymore. So it's just, the old school guy. There's only certain people that still actually respect the old school.
Right. And it's and last night, we say old school. Last night was kind of old school basketball.
Rajon Rondo was an old school guy.
Right. It was a, but again, this is another in a line of Rondo. Rondo does this stuff, you know, bumped an official last year, and
he's a head case.
He called out the Heat for being crybaby. I mean, this is what Rondo does. Yeah, Garnett makes a foul, Humphries does it back, Rondo goes after him. Whatever. I think it was that big a deal. Maybe sets up for a nice rivalry down the season.
Listen, there's a lot.
I think the bigger point is the Nets have found their game past couple weeks. They're getting it together.
Listen, the Nets look good, and I'll tell you, going back a couple of games, and we'll get to the Knicks, you know, when the Knicks played the Nets in Brooklyn, there has never been a game where even when they were good, and the Nets made the final in the dead era of the NBA in the early 2000s, late 90s, where your superstars were Allen Iverson and throw it to Shaq down low.
Jason Kidd, woo, yeah.
But
Jason
when that Kidd. Team made the final, you know, they're just not interesting. Their jersey, the new stadium, the new uniforms, the atmosphere, the fact that they were Brooklyn, that game added so much intensity.
I think we undersold what the switch from Jersey to Brooklyn was going to do for that organization. It is completely changed. It's completely changed the perception of the organization, and really I think the perception of New York basketball. There are two New York teams. Legitimately are two. You can talk, you know, fans can puff out their chest and say, well, the Knicks are the main team. But there are two New York teams right now.
You know, the main team is the team with the better record in New York.
Yeah.
You know, the Yankees will always be the main team. But if the Yankees ever had a bad season and the Mets shockingly had a good season, two things that just aren't going to happen anytime soon, you know, the Mets would be the team. New York is about winning. Listen, I think it's great. You know, the aura of this game... A New Jersey Boston fight
that's not good.
That wouldn't happen.
But you put it in the context.
There's no juice behind that.
You put it in the context of New York and Boston in the same context of Red Sox Yankees or Rangers Bruins. You can kind of see that you can legitimately call that a rivalry.
Yeah, listen.
And you can put some passion there in between those two cities.
I think we're looking at the greatest year the NBA has had since the Jordan era. I mean, you have LeBron now looking to build on his ring. The Heat are a powerhouse, but the last couple of seasons, and I know they only won one or two, they made that big three, the Celtic big three was fading, and it just kind of looked, it didn't seem like there was that much competitive balance.
I think you can certainly say that about the East. If the Lakers don't turn it around, it's going to be a tough thing to make. I think they will. I agree with you. I think they will, but they've got to do it at some point.
Right.
Or else the West is just terrible.
I don't know about that. I mean, when you look at the East, I think that the Knicks, which I did not think at the beginning of the year, and I'm not jumping the gun too early, I think it's possible that they are a legitimate title contender. Mm-hmm. The Celtics have revamped their roster. The Heat look fantastic. Brooklyn is legitimate. The Pacers will be competitive. The Chicago Bulls are a question mark with Derrick Rose coming back.
When Rose comes back, I mean, if they can hang around and get Rose back, then I think the Bulls are a very interesting team.
And you look at the Lakers, which, if you know, they're going to be interesting the whole season, and you just can't count out a roster with all those guys on
it.
It's got to
eventually work out. And you have to assume they're going to turn it around at some point.
Right. Unless they are the Philadelphia Eagles of the NBA, the the pseudo dream team.
Can you see them waving Kobe Bryant anytime soon?
That's the thing. When you have Kobe, you're never going to be the Eagles of the NBA. So you got the Lake Show. You got, you know, the Thunder are the Thunder. The Spurs are a legitimate team.
Mm-hmm.
The Memphis Grizzlies are a legitimate team. I think you have, for the first time in a while, because the NBA, more so than any league in major American sports, the NBA is top heavy and then, you know, bottom thick, if you will.
Yep.
You have legitimately 6 to 8 teams that could walk away with the hardware this year, at least at this point. And the only way, by the way, that the Knicks will be able to do that with Amari Stoudemire is either trading him for Pau Gasol or having him settle for the sixth
man. That's funny. And it's funny you say that. I wanted to bring that up. Amari has come out and said he will accept the sixth man role, which I think is what you want. If Amari comes out and says, I will be the sixth man, I think that's what you want ideally. If that doesn't work out and a trade for Pau is possible, I don't see how the Knicks don't make that deal and bring in a scorer in the post.
If it does or doesn't work out, and listen, Amari Stoudemire is a team player. He was more of a leader than I thought he was. I like Amari Stoudemire. Let me preface that. I think that he was the first person to change the culture in New York. That being said, regardless of him accepting the six-man role or not, if the Pau Gasol trade can go down, I think it's a no-brainer for the Knicks. Pau plays with his back towards the basket more so than Amari does. He's better in the mid-range. Pau is a 7-foot power forward. When he has to play the center, he's soft. But when he's at the power forward position, and you have a guy like Tyson Chandler who's hard body,
that's it. You don't need a lot of defense from that position right now. Right. If you're the, you need some, but you don't need a lot. And I think Pau certainly gives you more offensively than Stoudemire than Amari does
within this offense.
Right, with Melo there,
and conversely, I mean, for the Lakers, Amari Stoudemire would deliver more in a D'Antoni system.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing, when you look at, well, first of all, it would remind me a lot of the Brooklyn Nets. The Brooklyn Nets have a physical guy in Humphries that takes the load and lets Brook Lopez play his finesse style.
Right.
I think that that really works well. I think it fits well. It's good in this modern NBA. It would work well in the Knicks system. And it's been proven, at least to my satisfaction, and I hope it changes if the trade doesn't go down, that Amare and Carmelo Anthony
cannot
do
play
not
together.
Fit perfectly
they can't,
or well at all, really,
right,
within the same offense. You have three more years of $20+ million with Amari Stoudemire. Now Pau Gasol also out of his prime, maybe even a little bit more out of his prime, at least age-wise. He's 2 years older than Amari Stoudemire, but he could fit better, and he only has two more years of close to max money.
And at the same time, you've got, you say he's a little bit past his prime. You've got serviceable guys in the bench who can come in and fill
Absolutely.
Pretty much the exact same role that Pau would be filling.
Absolutely.
That's what I think the vast majority of us, the two of us included, undersold coming in when we thought about the Knicks.
Completely.
Is the depth that they have on their bench and the way that they utilize it, and the way that they would utilize it well, in that they don't play a lot of minutes, but when they do come in, they can be effective in spells. And it's worked out so far. I think Pau would fit perfectly into that system.
I think he fits very well. And even if he didn't, at the very least, if he didn't fit, well, Amari didn't fit either, and now you are cutting a year. You can come out from underneath the contract an entire year earlier, which is huge because Carmelo Anthony is no spring chicken. Tyson Chandler, you know, is on a 3-4 year deal.
Right.
The window is the next three years. So if this didn't work out, you'd only have to do it this year, next year, and then you could try to add another big time piece for a final push.
One final year. Yep. We'll leave the NBA talk there. We'll come back. We'll get into the NFL. Jets, I guess you could say a big game. I don't think so. The Jets have a game this weekend, and the Giants playing a big game Monday night against the Redskins. We'll get into both of those on the other side. It's Cover 2.